A very unusual halacha when it comes to Ner Chanukah. What's the klal? What's the klal in general when it comes to performing a mitzvah? So the Ramah tells us, by the laws of purchasing a lulav, the Ramah writes in source number 1, Tafresh Nun Vav, Umi she'ein lo esrog, oshar mitzvah overes, you can't afford a lulav and esrog, you don't have one, the mitzvah is going to pass you by, time is of the essence. How much do you need to spend? Ein tzarach levaz ve'ez aleha hon rav. Person shouldn't feel that a mitzvah is priceless. I have to give away everything I own to do a mitzvah. No, a person doesn't have to spend a hon rav, a tremendous sum of money on it. Kamo she'amru ha'mavaz ve'ez al yavaz ve'ez yosu mechomesh. Afilu mitzvah veres. The rule is, when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, a person who's very generous shouldn't be generous more than 20%. Al yavaz ve'ez yosu mechomesh. So Ramah seems to be saying the same thing is true when it comes to any mitzvah sasei, that a person does not need to spend more than 20% of his money to perform any mitzvah sasei. You don't own tefillin. You don't own a lulav and esrog. You have $100 to your name. To buy a set of lulav and esrog costs $50. That's 50% of your value, of your money. You are exempt from the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. Don't own a pair of tefillin. You have $500. That's your entire life savings. To buy a pair of tefillin is going to cost you $400. You do not need to buy a pair of tefillin, because a person does not need to spend more than a chomesh on a mitzvah overes. Now, exactly how much do I need to spend? It doesn't tell us. It says I don't need to spend the hon rav, and it tells me that hamavazvez al yavazvez yosem mechomesh. What's like a normal amount that I should expect to spend? So the Mishnah Berurah says in source number 2. He says, "Haposkim iskimu," where it's bolded, "Afilu pachos mishlish, gam kein ein tzarach litein." The rule is, we'll see in a moment, when it comes to hider mitzvah, you have to be prepared to spend a third more. That's for hider mitzvah. What about for the mitzvah in general? So apparently, obviously, it's less than a shlish, right? V'samchu dino k'vol leinin tzedakah. So he says that's what the Ramah is making this comparison to tzedakah, that by tzedakah a person shouldn't spend more than one fifth. So too, apparently, by mitzvah sasei, right? Lest you become poor. We don't want you to become poor and become a burden on society. So therefore, could be, says Mishnah Berurah, that's what the Ramah is saying here, that by any mitzvah one should spend up to a fifth. Okay, he writes, he continues in Sif Katan Ches, Umikol makom chayiv lahotzi al kopanim isur nechasav lezeh. At the very least, I have to be prepared to spend a tenth, because by tzedakah, even a shir benoni is to give meiser. Right? And he says, well, it could be when it's a more pressing mitzvah, up to a fifth. But again, it's never going to be more than a fifth. It's never going to be more than a fifth for a mitzvah saseh. Okay, so that's the rule. The rule is established for us. Again, there's a lot to talk about there. But in Orach Chaim, Tafresh Nun Vav, the rule is for a mitzvah saseh, the max one has to spend is one fifth of his money. What about to avoid a mitzvah lo saseh? Your boss calls you in. He says, worship Avodah Zarah, I'm going to fire you. Your boss calls you in and says, tell me, Lashon Hara, which is an Avera, or I'm going to fire you. It's going to cost you your job. You're going to lose all of your money. You're not going to know what to do. You're going to have to go door to door collecting to put food on the table that night. So do I speak the Lashon Hara to save my job? The halacha is, you have to be prepared to give away everything to avoid a lo sase. Says the Ramah, in source number 3, Bedafka mitzvah sasei, avalo sasei yitein ko mamono kodem shiavor. To avoid a lo sasei, you have to be prepared to give away everything, to not do a lo sasei. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, the reason is because bitel asei, I'm not going against Hashem. I'm just not. Hashem likes when Jews walk around with lulavs and esrogim. Okay, so I'm not doing something that God likes, but I'm not going against Him. To do a lo sasei, to extinguish a fire on Shabbos to save my house from burning, right, I'm going against Hashem's will. I'm actively going against His will. He told me lo tasei, don't do that, and I'm doing it. So therefore, a person has to make a greater sacrifice, says the Mishnah Berurah, for a lo sasei than mitzvah sasei. And again, there's a lot of discussion about this as well. Hider mitzvah, to beautify a mitzvah, we said a person has to be prepared to pay an extra third. An extra third. So instead of, let's say the esrog costs $10, right? to get a more beautiful aspect is going to cost a third more. So heder mitzvah ad shlish, you should be prepared to spend a little bit extra for the esrog. Hang on a second, chavra. Bava kama daf tesamud beis, source number 5. Amr vizera amr avhuna, b'mitzvah ad shlish. For a mitzvah, you spend up to a third. The Gemara says, up to a third? For a mitzvah? Really? So the Gemara says, no, behidr mitzvah ad shlish. Behidr mitzvah ad shlish. To make a mitzvah, to go from fulfilling my obligation to beautifying the mitzvah, I should be prepared to spend a third more. Okay, so these are the klalim. I'm just giving you the general principles. Again, for a mitzvah, I say up to a fifth. For a los, I say give away everything. And to do hidr mitzvah, one should be prepared to spend up to a third more of whatever the basic price is to get the more mehudar, whatever it is that you're purchasing. Yeah?
It's one third more than you bought it for?
That's correct. It's not a third of your money. It's a third. It's if I can buy it for X amount, or I can buy the nicer one for a third more, I should be prepared to stretch, you know, a third of the regular price to do hidr mitzvah. Okay. Again, there's a lot to talk about exactly how to apply each of these klalim in their place. But what's unusual is when you come to Ner Chanukah, all of a sudden all the rules are broken. Come to Ner Chanukah and everything's out of whack. The Rambam writes in source number 7, the Halakha Rambam. I've been waiting a while to say the Halakha Rambam. It's not going to be. I have some Halakha Rambam shirim coming up, but this is also a Halakha Rambam shirim. But this is we don't have to defend the Rambam like crazy today. It's not like stealing off a Kovan shirim. You know what I mean? We'll get there too. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah at the very end. Tzarich, right? I mean the last parak of Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah. Tzarich Adam li zahir ba. A person has to take Ner Chanukah very seriously. To show, wow, I'm so thankful for the miracles that Hashem did for us. If I'm a poor person who has to collect tzedakah money just to survive, I have to be prepared to sell the shirt off my back in order to get Ner Chanukah. What happened to the regular rule of up to a fifth? Rambam's making it sound like at all costs you must have Ner Chanukah. Why are we so crazy about Ner Chanukah? The Magid Mishnah says, presumably, we're comparing it to another din. Ner Chanukah is primarily an expression of Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing the miracle, thanking Hashem. The Magid Mishnah writes on the Rambam there in source number 8, Nira Shalom Dume Afilu Ani Mi Yisrael Lo Yifchos Lo Midalit Kosos. It appears that we're deriving this from another case of Pirsumei Nisa, where we make sure that a poor person can do the mitzvah. Where do we find that there's a poor person and we make sure that he can do the mitzvah? Dalet Kosos. The Dalet Kosos of Pesach are an expression of Pirsumei Nisa. And so too, says the Magid Mishnah, so too Ner Chanukah is Pirsumei Nisa. So the same way that the poor fellow has to have Dalet Kosos, the poor fellow has to have Ner Chanukah. Interesting, the Magid Mishnah uses a lashon at the end, v'kol shekein v'ner Chanukah. If I have to have Dalet Kosos on Pesach, all the more so, I have to have Ner Chanukah. Says the Lechem Mishnah, why all the more so? Maybe equate the two? I can maybe even make a case that Dalet Kosos is more important. Says the Lechem Mishnah, source 9, kosher, the my kol shekein v'nusa. Ner Chanukah is even more of an expression of Pirsumei Nisa. It's even more chashuv than the Dalet Kosos. What we're going to see today is that Ner Chanukah is the most precious thing in the world. There's nothing more precious than Ner Chanukah. And I'll just show you. I was looking at, thanks to my friend Yoni, I was looking at the Mevaser Tov from the Rebbe of Biala, his writings on Chanukah, a volume they put out, from Samach Tes and Tavshin Ayin. So in the very first Maimer he has there a little discussion about this, not what most of today's shiur is based upon. A lot of this shiur, I first got started with this idea many years ago, thanks to a piece from Rabbi Bezalel Radinsky from Muncie, in the Mishkan Bezalel on Bereshis. He has a several-page mimer that's going to be sort of the backdrop for today's shir. But the Biala Rebbe says, I'll show you that, yes, Kol Shekein. I'll show you that Ner Chanukah is more chashuv. He writes on the second page of the Sefer, he says, just look at that Mishnah Pesachim. The Mishnah Pesachim that says that a poor person needs to have Dalet Kosos. Whose responsibility is it that he has Dalet Kosos? Whose job is it to make sure that he has Dalet Kosos? Says the Mishnah in source number 10, Erev Pesachim Samach Lamincha Lo Yochal Adam Achetechshach Afilu Ani Shabi Yisrael Lo Yochal Ash Yosef Vilo Yifchesu Lo Me'arbakos Shal Yayin Vafilu. And even if he's such a poor Jew that he eats min hatamchoy, that he takes from the charity plate, you have to make sure he has dalet kosos. Who has to make sure he has dalet kosos? Who's the burden upon? Tosfos quotes the Rashbam, Perish Gabai Tzedakah. The community has an achrayus to make sure that this poor Jew has his dalet kosos. That's why the lashon of the Mishnah is lo yifchasu. It's their responsibility to make sure he has no less than 4 cups. It's not lo yifchos lashon yachid, putting the burden upon him. The obligation is upon the community. Interesting, if you go back to the Magen Mishnah, he says, lo yifchos midalat kosos. Apparently there was a machlokas. What is the girsa? Is it his responsibility, or is the community's responsibility? How do we paskin? We paskin like this, Tosfos, like the Rashbam. We follow the girsa that it's the community's responsibility. That's why the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, in footnote number 1, brings lo yifchosulo. The community has to supply him. But what about Ner Chanukah? Whose job is it? Says the Bial Rebbe, I'll tell you what the Kol Shekein is. By Ner Chanukah, whose job is it to make sure he has Ner Chanukah? Let's say the community hangs him up to dry. The community says, we're not helping you out this year. He has to sell the shirt off his back. He has to do whatever it takes, anything in the world, to get that Ner Chanukah. And question number 1 is, why? Why are we so crazy on Ner Chanukah? It breaks all the rules. We're so extreme about Ner Chanukah. It doesn't follow any of the rules, even more so than the Persumei Nisav. It's a Derabbanan Ner Chanukah. There's an interesting shita of the Bahag. The Bahag has a shita where he seems to say that Ner Chanukah has an element of Da'araisa to it. Even so, Lulav Esrog Da'araisa. Right? And the Pasha says Ner Chanukah is Derabbanan. So why are we so crazy about Ner Chanukah? Do whatever it takes to get yourself a Ner Chanukah. That's question number 1. Question number two is, Bichlal, how did Chanukah become a Yom Tov? So say, what do you mean? It was a tremendous miracle. So Chavi, you have to pause for a second and say, hold on. There's miracles throughout Jewish history. There's tremendous, tremendous miracles throughout Jewish history. How do we decide which miracles become worth making a Yom Tov out of, and which ones not? So tell you what, an amazing miracle. Oil was burning in the base of Mikdash. A miracle in the base of Mikdash. Open up Pirkei Avos to the 5th parak and read about the 10 miracles that happened every single day in the base of Mikdash. What's the chiddush of Ner Chanukah that we make it into a whole Yom Tov? Right? You'll tell me it's a tremendous military victory. Mamish Nisim in flows. So take a look at source 13 and 14. Just the mashal. How about the military victory, the miraculous victory over Sancheirav? What happened? Described in Malachim Beis. V'arbas reishana lemelech Chizkiah, ola Sancheirav melech Asher, kol ar Yehuda b'tzuros v'yitpesim. Right? Here comes Sancheirav with his massive army ready to make a holocaust, Rachmana Litzlan. Nu, and Chever, what happens? One parak later. V'ayi b'laylahu, it was that very night, v'yitzi malach Hashem. Hashem performed the miracle, sent out a malach, v'yach b'machane ashur mea ushmodim v'chamisha olef. And in one night, 185,000 soldiers did not wake up. Hashem wiped them out in a plague. V'yashkim v'boker v'nei kulam pigarim mesim. Nu, let's make a yontif. That's Purim's a yontif, but that's not a yontif. Chanukah's a yontif, but defeating Sisera is not a yontif. How do you decide what's a yontif? How are we koveya what's a yontif? What makes the miracle? Again, going back, forgetting the military victory, let's go back to the Neis Pach Shemen. There were 10 miracles that happened all the time in the Beis Hamikdash. What was the chiddush of Neis Pach Shemen? Oh, the oil lasted a long time. The Ner Maravi was always burning. So why Dafka did they make a yontif out of Chanukah? That's question number 2. Question number three. Sukkis and Chanukah are very much connected. There's a lot to talk about there. I'm not going to go into that right now. But by Sukkah also we have an interesting question. There's a mitzvah to sit in the Sukkah. Torah tells us in Parshas Emor, Basukos teshu shivas yam kol ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu basukos. Why do we sit in the Sukkah? This is one of the 3 places, right, where there's an emphasis of laman yedu. You have to know what you're doing. Tzitzis, you're supposed to know what you're doing. Tefillin, you're supposed to know what you're doing. You sit in the sukkah, you're supposed to have kavana. Why am I sitting in a sukkah? Leman, so that Yehidu Dor Seichem Kibla Sukkos Oshavti Yisbnei Yisrael. To remember the awesome miracle that Hashem did, that He took us out and surrounded us with sukkahs, with sukkot, when we left Mitzrayim. And on your kavod, sukkahs mamish is hard to understand. What did Hashem do that was so amazing that we have to remember it? Maybe He protected us in the desert, despite the fact that we had regular little huts. Another Yaakovod, a big miracle. What other miracles did we have at the exact same time? As we're wandering around in the desert. Deir Shomiriam, the man. The man was Ziv, the Ramban's Lashon. I always say, it was Ziv HaShchina Shenizgashim. It was, you don't have words to describe what that means even. It's Kiviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an edible form. It's the Ziv HaShchina, it's the radiance of the Divine, right, that took on a physical form that could be eaten. And it didn't produce any psolas. The person didn't need to use the Beis HaKiseh when you ate the man. Your body didn't sweat. There was nothing. It was the most perfect food in the world. So why do we make a Yom Tov out of the shelter of Bnei Yisrael, but not out of the food of Bnei Yisrael? Why is Sukkos a Yom Tov? That Kibbutz Sukkos HaShavti is Bnei Yisrael. Why do we make a Zecher for the Anani HaKavod more so than the man or the Be'er Shomiriam? No, first, what do you say?
When they had the man, they was praying for Hanasa. No, they had the man every day. They was praying for Hanasa. Praying is a big toiver that you pray. You need Hashem. One from the rabbis once say, "I'm scholar, my children should not be rich." Why? But if somebody is rich, he has to make a lot of money. They think he get up. No problem. I had my money. If somebody is not rich and is supposed to ask for Hanasa, and he connected to Hashem. It's a very big toiver for a man. He needs Hashem. He needs to pray for him. So when they have them on, I don't know how much tefillah was from Panosa. They have them on. They have it.
Saying the man's not such a good thing.
It had a side effect.
It has a side effect.
But the emphasis, the man was different levels.
Right.
Some get it by the door.
Right.
Some was too good for it. But still, one wasn't so complete.
Right.
But Lamaisa, the man was made the deep something to connect to Hashem. On one side, the man was very holy food, no gashmis, but still a rakhni. It's a whole shayla, if they make a bracha on the man. You know about it?
Yeah.
What bracha they make in the man?
Hamaytzi lechem min
hashamayim. One people, they don't make a bracha, because they don't have...
No psalas.
Huh?
There's no birur, no psalas.
So the man was also a side effect that they know the Arab in the morning, or they find it. So when they say Panasa wasn't so strong.
I hear.
Okay. And also, the mom was also beloved for the, how do you call it, they came,
Moshe
was recovered, what do you call it? The Erev Rav? Erev Rav. The mom was for the
Erev Rav. The mom was for the Erev Rav.
The sikh wasn't for the Erev
Rav. The money of covered wasn't for...
This was the young for the sikh, and the one for the Erev
Rav. I hear. I hear. Okay, so we have an answer. Question number 3, you could take it off the record. Okay, but we're going to explore. We'll explore another answer. Why dafka to make a yontiv out of sukkis? Zecher to the anani akavod, but not to the man.
How do you call it anani akavod? What do they call it?
What do they call the anani akavod?
Anani akavod.
What? What do you mean?
Why do you name it anani akavod? What is akavod?
Did you tell me?
No.
Okay.
Why do you call it Nana Kovar?
Okay. Tzarechin. I think the answer, I think the Rishner says, the Ananiya Kovar was created from the Hevel PM of people talking nicely to each other. Gemara says, the Ananiya Kovar were Keneged Aaron Kohen. Aaron Kohen is the Oyv Shalom Vrode Shalom. So when people talk nicely to each other, so it creates a Hevel, it creates a Nanu, it creates
together.
Sitting together. Have you known this holy Jew? You should, if you don't, you should. Okay, question number four. Question number 4 seems tangential, but you'll see why it's very much an ogaya. to our question about sukkah. Why are women pater from the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah? It's clear that they are. The halacha is clear. Noshim v'avodim v'ketanim p'turim in a sukkah. Why? So you'll say, it's a mitzvah seishas man grama. No. But what trumps mitzvah seishas man grama some of the time? Afhein hayu bosu anes. That if women were part of the miracle, they also celebrate. Tosos brings the Maseches Megillah and Daf Dalet. Two pshatim, what it means, afhein hayu bosu anes. One pshat in Rishonim is, afhein hayu bosu anes, that they were the ones who brought about the miracle. That they were the ones who were the cause of the miracle. Then Tosos says, I don't think that's the more true pshat. Afhein makes it sound like they were not the main thing. They were also part of it. Also part of what? Also part of the salvation. Tosos writes, two lines from the end, source 17. Lekach nira li, sha'afhein hayu besafik de lahashmid o laharog, is Tosos Megillah, explaining why women have a shaykhis to Purim. They were also threatened by Haman to be killed. V'chein b'Pesach, on Pesach, they were also mishubados l'power Mitzrayim. On Chanukah, the gzeir was also upon them. Nu, if Sukkis is the hemshech of Yitzias Mitzrayim, we left Mitzrayim, the women benefited from the Sukkah, they were protected from all the dangers of the Midbar by the Sukkah, afhein hayu bosu anes. Shouldn't they also? Why is Sukkis Yotzim in a klal in that regard? Shouldn't women also have a sheichas to the mitzvah of Sukkah the same way they sit and have to eat matzah on Pesach? And lastly, the final question, which in many ways is the main question. If you look in the Nusach of Yimei Matisyahu that we recite on Chanukah, you'll notice a very strange thing. The Lashonos keep switching back from an expression of Am to expression of Banim. Take a look. Kesha Amda, source 18. Kesha Amda Malchus Yavan Harishal Amcha Yisrael. V'acher Kein Ba'u Banecha. It says that the Yavanim came and they targeted Am Yisrael. And then it says, Kesha Gavra Malchus Beis Chashmonai, and Hashem helped us to win. And Mesarta Giburim Biad Chalashim, and Tmeim Biad Tahorim, V'chulu V'chulu. So at the end it says what? V'acher Kein Ba'u Banecha L'dvir Beisecha. And they cleaned it up, and they lit the Neros Bechatzos Kachecha. Right? So why does it start off that the Yavanim were targeting Am, the Amcha, Am Yisrael, and in the end it says, but afterwards the Banim came and they cleaned up the mess. Okay, so those are the five questions. Shechazer the five questions, in case anyone missed any of the five questions. Okay, let's chazer the five questions. What was question number one? Right, why is there this extreme halacha? A person has to be prepared to sell the shirt off his back, to do whatever it takes to get Ner Chanukah. It seems that doesn't follow the regular rules. The normal rule is up to a fifth, right? Ner Chanukah, a person has to go all out. Why? What's so special about Ner Chanukah that a person needs to have Ner Chanukah at all costs? Question number two. Why what? Right, why Davka Bechlal? Is this Nes something that we're so appreciative of? We want to draw attention to. Hashem did many, many miracles throughout Klal Yisrael's history. How do we decide when to be Koveya Yom Tov? And when to just mark it up as just another miracle? Hashem always does miracles, wondrous things all around us. That's question number two. Question number three, the Yom Tov of Sukkis, right, it seems to be strange in the sense that we're making Yom Tov out of Sukkis, but not out of the Man and the Be'er. Again, what was it? And perhaps it'll help us to really solidify the link that exists between Chanukah and Sukkah. We'll have a new appreciation for that as well. But what is it about Sukkis that the Anane HaKavod is so special that we make a Yom Tov out of it? And the subcategory of that question, question four, is why are women exempt from the Sukkah? When we understand the secret of what we're really celebrating on Sukkis, we'll understand why women perhaps are exempt from Yeshiva B'Sukkah, even though we would think afhein hayu bosu anes. And lastly, the big question of why the Yavanim came to target Amcha Yisrael, and clearly, in the end, when there was a victory, acher kein bo banecha is a celebration of the fact that bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. In case anyone forgot where that pasuk is found in Chumash, someone came over to me at shul this past Shabbos, and he says to me, older guy comes over, he says, bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, re'ei perek yadal pasuk aleph. It's like, thanks for the shiurim online. I was like, wow. He's like, I'm a good Talmud. I've been listening carefully. He's like, I love that you do that with the guys. It's great. Okay? So we have, people are spying on us. We should be careful what we say.
I don't understand the last question.
The last question? Yeah, the last question is, why, again, it says the Avanim came to attack Am Yisrael. And then it says, but afterwards it was a victory for Banecha, for your children. So why the change in, right? It says V'acher kein bo v'nech l'dvir b'secha, and they cleaned up the Beis HaMikdash and they relit the menorah. So it's clear that the Avanim were targeting the Am, and it was the Banim who were victorious. So what is this change in the nusach of the tefillah from Amcha Yisrael to Banecha? Okay. So the answer really is. Starting almost backwards from question 5. The answer is that the celebration of Chanukah, the simcha of Chanukah, the chavivus of Chanukah is rooted in the fact, as we've been talking a lot recently, that there's a certain kasher we have at the Ribono Shel Olam that's completely rock solid. And there's nothing in the world that can uproot that connection. That connection of Banim Lamakum. Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. A husband and a wife, Rachmana Litzlan, if it doesn't work out, they can get divorced. There's nothing that mandates that they must be together. The Gemara says the Mizbeach cries over such a thing. It's a sad thing. It can be very difficult on the family. Right? But it happens. And sometimes, when it's time to get divorced, there's a mitzvah to give a get. There's a mitzvah to get divorced. The relationship of a parent and a child, no matter how strained the relationship might appear at times, can never be severed. There's a genetic link, a shared DNA that holds them together at all costs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came on Chanukah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want to show Klal Yisrael how much I love them. I want to show them how much I care about them. That even when they've been really bad to the point that there's only a handful of Jews who even want to fight against the Greeks, and many of the Jews are the greatest sympathizers with the Greeks, a whole culture of misyavdim, and yet Hashem says, but you're still my children. And I'll go above and beyond for my children. The way that any good parent, in any healthy parent-child relationship, the parent will always do for the child, no matter how out of line the child is. The Pnei Yoshua has a very famous comment in Source 19. The Pnei Yoshua says, and it's already raised by earlier sources, why is it that we needed the Neis Pach Shemen? The halacha is, we have a halacha, of Tuma Hutra B'tzibur. Which means that if all the oil is Tameh, you're allowed to use Tameh oil. Bichlal, first of all, there's a question already that's discussed in Lumdis. What's the source that you're not allowed to light the menorah with Tameh oil? Who says you can't light a menorah with Tameh oil? Where do we know that in the abstract? Where do we know that to begin with? That's a very Lumdish discussion. Okay? Not for right now. Right? But assuming that that's true, assuming that there is a problem of lighting the menorah in a state of Tumah, of using Tameh oil, okay, but we also have emergency measures when it comes to Tumah. We have a concept of Tumah, Hutra, B'tzibur. That means when what? When the Tzibur is Tameh, we don't shut down the Beis HaMikdash and say, oh, okay, everyone's Tameh, so I guess we'll cancel the Beis HaMikdash. We're allowed to operate on a B'dievit track of Tumah, Hutra, B'tzibur. So says the Pnei Yoshua in Source 19, the Gemara in Shabbos, L'chora, he says in the second line, Yesh L'tmuah. Kol Torah HaNezeh Lama. Why did the Kaddish Baruch Hu bother to make a miracle? Hashem doesn't like making miracles. Why did Hashem make a miracle? Da Kaim Alan Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. Vayuchol in Lahadlik B'Shem and Tameh. The Beis HaMikdash would have been fine. Hashem didn't have to do any special miracles. We've said a lot of times recently, Hashem is a Kel Mestater. He doesn't like doing miracles unless he has to. Why did Hashem feel he needed to do a miracle here? Wasn't necessary. The halacha would allow us to continue without Hashem making eight days of miraculous menorah burning. Says the Pnei Yoshua, very sweet words. Look what he says. Lakach nira de'ikir anes lo nasa ela lahodia lahem chibas hamakum aleihem. The Pnei Yoshua says, ein achanami. Hashem didn't have to do for them. And the truth is, if Hashem would have looked at the way that we're behaving, Hashem should have said, not only do I not have to do for you, I don't want to do for you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avinu Shebashamayim is a loving father. And a loving father looks down at his children, his mischievous children, his Shuvu Banim Shovavim. When we're acting like Banim Shovavim, we're still Banim. I'll tell you a great story. I'm just thinking of it now. Nathan Cohen reminded me of it. It came up the other day. I told this story a couple years ago. The Papa Rav from Montreal. So when he was a young man, he went to visit by Rav Ara Lebelzer. It's like a big thing. It was a very big thing. So the practice was what you used to do. People wanted to get a bracha for women. Rav Ara wouldn't meet with them, and he wouldn't speak to women. So what people would do is you'd bring a tichel that a married woman would wear to cover her hair, and you put it down on the table. And Rav Arla wouldn't look at it. He doesn't look at Big Day Nashim. He'd put his hands over it. He'd bless. He'd bench the tichel, and then the tichel would be imbued with kedusha for the woman who's going to wear that to Mekayim the mitzvah of Kisei Rosh. So the Papa Rav from Montreal, Rav Naiman was his name. Zatzal, he passed away probably 10 years ago now. Very special Jew. So we have some of his Torahs. Beautiful Torahs. Agura ba'olech on Chumash. Find that sefer. Ooh, wow. What?
Is he the guy
like Naiman and Bua? No, maybe. I don't know. Montreal. Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's relative. So anyway, he comes to the Belzer Rebbe, and the Belzer Rebbe looks away, and he puts down the techel. Now, he didn't realize that you're supposed to put down the techel. The Rebbe gives a bracha, and then you pick it up and put it away before the Rebbe turns back. And the Rebbe turned back, and the techel is still on the table. And the Rebbe got very upset. It's nis. But there's tichel on the table, right? And the Rebbe said to him, he said, "I'm surprised." He said, "I would have thought that a Hasidic Shabbachar like you would know better." So years later, the Papa Rebbe used to say, he says, "I was very, you know, the Rebbe put me in my place. He gave me mussar." He said, "But at least the Rebbe called me a Hasidic Shabbachar." He says, "The Rebbe was mechaveh me by saying you're a Hasidic Shabbachar. You should know better. A Hasidic Shabbachar should know better." He said, "I felt good that he said I'm an authentic Hasidic Shabbachar." Right? So I was talking to Nathan the other day when he was wearing his Chassidish Levush. So he reminded me of that story. But I said, "You look like a Chassidish Avachar." He said, "Ah, at least you call me a Chassidish Avachar." Right? What's the pshat? The pshat is when Hashem has a right to be very angry at us, Hashem still wants to stroke our cheek and say, "No, a Chassidish Avachar should know better. A Chassidish Avachar should know better. Klal Yisrael, you're my bonim, you should know better." So yeah, Hashem's very upset with us. And it was mamish a terrible time in Ruchnius by Bayesheni. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us a little kiss on the cheek to say, "But you're still my children." And therefore says the Pnei Yeshua, "Ein achanami." They didn't need to be such a miracle. The whole purpose of the miracle was simply to say, "I love you." That was the whole tachlis of the Neis Pach Shemen. And therefore it's a celebration. Hanukkah becomes a celebration of what? Of the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us no matter what. As we've discussed many times, the Gemara in Kedushin, the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, you have to earn the right to be Banim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Meir says what? Bein kach u'bein kach kriyim banim. And that's how we paskin in the Tshuva Sarashba. That a ben by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always a ben by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's nothing in the world that can take that away. Now perhaps we can understand the Lashon of the Rambam that I edited out in one of the earlier sources, when the Rambam says you have to do whatever it takes to get Ner Chanukah. Look what the Rambam writes in source 20, and all the Sfarim are busy with this Lashon. Rambam writes, "Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od." It's chaviva hi ad ma'od. It's such a precious mitzvah. And then the Rambam goes on and says, that's why you need to sell the shirt off your back to get this mitzvah. But what does it mean, mitzvah chaviva? The Rambam doesn't use that Lashon anywhere else. Mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. The Mashpia said yesterday, Tosos and Sukkah also used that Lashon by Ner Chanukah. Mishum chaviva said, right, there's a birchas haroeh. We make a bracha upon seeing Ner Chanukah. Why? Because mitzvah chaviva. What's the chavivas of Ner Chanukah? So Rav Amshur says the following. My brother, Rav Dubital, once wanted to say this on his own. He was mechave into this. But Rav Shur has it in the Chanukah Sefer that he put out last year. He says, where do we find the Lashon of chavivas? Rabbi Akiva tells us in Pirkei Avos in Source 21, Chaviv in Yisrael shenikru banim lamakom. Chaviv in Yisrael shenikru banim lamakom. Chavivas is a lashon you use when you want to talk about what? A unique type of ava that only exists between a parent and a child. Chiba yisera no das lam shenikru banim lamakom. You know what the chiba yisera is? There's a chiba yisera. Chaviv ad ma'od. Extra chavivas that what? That Hashem lets us know that we're banim l'makom. Hashem told us, banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. Devarim Perek Yudal Pasuk Aleph. Hashem announced that to us. But you know how Hashem announced that to us on Chanukah? How did Hashem announce to us on Chanukah that Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'o, that I love you so much? How did He announce it? He announced it by doing an open miracle at a time when we didn't deserve anything. An open miracle at a time we didn't deserve anything. Rabbi Eliyahu Gutmacher writes in his Chidushim, in Source 22, his Chidushim on Shas, on Maseches Chagiga Daf Hei Amud Aleph. He says, what does it mean? Chaviv in Yisrael Shnikru Banu L'makom, Chibi Yisera No Das Lam Shnikru Banu L'makom. He writes, he was a great Torah personality in the early 1800s, German Torah personality. We have Yisraelis and Chuvas as well. Uvaman No Das Lahem, how does Hashem make it known? Rabbi Kiva says, Chibi Yisera No Das Lahem. Look how much he loves it. Hashem makes it known that you're His children. So Pashup Shad is, he made it known by writing in the Chumash, Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokecha. But how does Hashem make it extra chaviv? Says Rav Elia Gutmacher, Hu al yedei nisim hayotze migeder ateva shenas l'Yisrael. Ki dechsev ha'asen niflaos Hashem lo nivro v'gomer. V'ra kol ha'am b'smaisa Hashem v'gomer. V'chulu. Im kein, heros ha'nisim guluyim heima ha'me'idim shenachnu banu l'makom. That only a parent can do such a thing for a child. Doesn't make sense. Al derech ha-teva. Rahman lets on a baby trapped under a car and a mother flips over the car to save her child. How does that happen? But derech ha-teva, she doesn't have that type of strength. The answer is, when it's your child, you can do miracles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does miracles for Klal Yisrael. And now we can understand the question that we raised about Sukkos. When is Sukkos? The 15th of Tishrei. So what's the famous question the Torah asks about Sukkos? The Torah says, why isn't it in Nisan? If it's Laman Yidu, that we left Mitzrayim, so we left Mitzrayim in Nisan. Sukkos should be in Nisan. What's the Torah's answer? Why don't we have Sukkos in Nisan? Weather's, right? The weather's too nice, people are going to say, you're just sitting around outside. It happens to be the weather's pretty beautiful in Eretz Yisrael, also for Sukkos. But if you're sitting in some Galistic place, you know, sitting in some frozen Polish shtetl, right, where you have snow, with Aruch HaShulchan talking about how do you deal with a Sukkah with snow on top, okay, you understand the Torah. You understand the Torah much better. Almost as if to say Sukkos is almost a Chutz La'aretz Yontif, which is hard to imagine, knowing everything else about Sukkos, celebration of the Peros Ha'aretz on some level. Okay, but that's the Torah's answer in Source 23. Hashem commanded us to go out in Tishrei when everyone else is coming in. It's starting to get a little nippy outside, a little cold. And now you're dafka going out. Why are these Jews sitting outside in the winter? The winter months are arriving. Because their God told them to do so. That's why Sukkos got moved from the ideal time of Nisan to Tishrei. That's what the Torah writes. Comes along the Vilna Gaon and says, no. That's a nice pshat. I'll tell you much deeper and much better. And you'll see again the kesher between Sukkos, which is Ma'or Banim L'Makom, as it's connected to what? To Chanukah. Look what he says. Amazing. The Gra writes in Adaras Eliyahu on Shir HaShirim in Source 24. He raises the question, why do we sit in the Sukkah in Tishrei? Shouldn't it be in Nisan? Aval Nira, he writes in the second line. Lefi kisha asu es ha'egel nistalku anonim v'oz lo chozru asher hischilu lasos ha'mishkan. Which anane ha'kavod are we remembering on Sukkos? Not the anonim that were with us when we left Mitzrayim. The anonim that came back after we chased away the anonim. What does that mean? When Klal Yisrael were nichshol by chayre egel, which is such a bizayon. Such a bizarre. And the truth is, if Har Sinai was really just a wedding, which it was also, it was a marriage between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? And as Rav Judah always describes when he talks about Cheder Egel, imagine a person standing under the chuppah, right, as he's about to marry this girl and he's already checking out the other young ladies standing off to the side. For Cheder Egel was, it's such a bizarre. You're about to marry this person. We just married Hashem, you're already looking around at the other girls. So if it was just a marriage, then Cheder Egel what? Cheder Egel should have ended everything. But the truth is, that bond that was solidified at Har Sinai, that Anokhi Hashem Elokecha we spoke about last week, being etched onto our souls, right, was also a solidification of what? Of Banu Matem Hashem Elokecha. And a child can't be divorced no matter how inappropriate the child acts. So says the Vilna Gaon, look what happened. Cheder Egel, Hashem got upset. Right? And Hashem, Kiviyachol, stormed off. The Ananei HaKavod left us. When did the Ananei HaKavod come back? when we built the Mishkan. What's the Cheshbon? Look what the Gra writes. He says, Moshe came down on Yom Kippur. The next day, on the day after Yom Kippur, the 11th of Tishrei, Moshe said, what? Let's gather everyone together. Let's talk about building a Mishkan. That was on the 11th of Tishrei. Then the Pasuk says, V'heim heviu elav od nedava, baboker, baboker. They spent the next 2 days, the 12th and the 13th of Tishrei, collecting stuff for the Mishkan, gathering goods for the Mishkan. On the 14th, they started chesmining how they're going to divide up the stuff, making sure the artisans are in place to start building. And when did they start actually building the Mishkan? On the 15th of Tishrei. And what happened on the 15th of Tishrei? The Anani HaKavod came back. So why do we sit in our little Anani HaKavod on the 15th of Tishrei? Says the Gra. Because it's the recognition that even after Achira Egel, you're still Banam Lamakum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came back. Uvitesva v'ischilu lasos v'azchazru anani akavod v'lakach anu osin sukkas v'tesva tishrei. It's very precise, says the Graf. That we make what? That we sit in the sukkah on tesva tishrei. And now we understand the question of why women don't sit in the sukkah. Why are women exempt from sukkah? Why don't women need the chizuk? That even after Achira Egel, they were a nechshol by Achira Egel. Right? The Medrash says that the women were not the ones who were responsible for Achira Egel. And therefore the women don't need the chizuk that comes from Sukkot, which is what? That even after Achira Egel, it's possible for a person to fix and to rebuild and to recognize a permanence in the relationship with Hashem that can never be taken away even by Achira Egel. Yeah. Okay? Good question. I want to. As we come now to the last step of the shiur, the end of the shiur, I want to show you what Yavan thought. Yavan thought Chet Egel destroyed the connection of Banam Atem LaShem Elokeichem. We mentioned the Maharal that Yavan was able to enter the Heichal. Remember the Maharal's unusual remez ledavar. Gematria of Yavan is 66. The Gematria of Heichal is 65. So Yavan was able to overpower the Heichal, to go into the Heichal. I'd like to suggest the following. The Gematria of Banim is
102.
It's the same Gematria as the word Amunah. Right? The Yavanim thought that our connection with Hashem on the Madriga of Banim is negotiable. There's a Shita like that in Halacha. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in Kedushin Lamed Vav. You have to earn banim, right? Emunah is something you have to work on. There's a mitzvah emunah. But we spoke about last week that what? That Anochi Hashem Elokecha is stated as a statement of fact. Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokecha, we passing like Rabbi Meir, it's a Chanukah diknim. Rabbi Meir is the one who tells us that Benkach u'Benkach Kriyim banim. And therefore the Yavanim made the following wrong cheshbon. See, the Yavanim were right, says the Maharal, that they could overpower the Heichal. They said, we're Yavan, we're 66. Heichal is 65. The Yavanim wanted to make the same cheshbon on our Amunah and on our connection to Hashem as Banim. What's the Gematria of Banim? 102. What's the Gematria of Amunah? 102. What's the Gematria of Egel? 103. The Yavanim made the same cheshbon. The same way that Yavan overpowers Heichal. The Yavan has the ability to one-up the Heichal. So too the Egel has the ability to erase that permanent connection that the Jews think they have to Hashem. They ruined it. They ruined the Madrega of Banim. They spoiled the Anochi Hashem Elokecha. They ruined the Ramuna. 103 overpowers 102. It's a good cheshbon, no? It worked for Yavan to overpower Heichal. They didn't realize that, no. The math doesn't add up in that case. On paper, it looks good. 103 overpowers 102. Egel overpowers Banim. But Lamaisa, the permanent connection that we have with the Kodesh Baruch, with the Chavivus that Hashem has for us, where Hashem will go and do what it doesn't make sense to do for us, and Chiba Yisera Nodas Lahem, that Hashem does open miracles for us. That's the celebration of Chanukah. And that's the celebration of Sukkot. And that's part of the Chanukah and Sukkot connection. And now we know the answer to our fifth and final question, which was what? The Yavanim came, and who did they target? Amcha Yisrael. You're just another nation. You have to play by the rules. But when the story is over, and Klal Yisrael see Hashem's love for them, V'achar kein, bo, Banechol is your Besecha. Banam Atem Hashem Elokeichem. The Yavanim were not victorious. The Navi says in Zechariah, in Source 25, Ki darachti li Yehuda, keshes milesi Ephraim, v'orarti v'nayich Tzion al v'nayich Yavan. The children of Tzion over the children of Yavan. The victory of the Banim. Hanukkah is a holiday for kids love Hanukkah. And we do a lot of things on Hanukkah to get the children involved. Because there's an element of reawakening that reality of Banecha Tzion. Tzion, of course, is a very Hanukkah-dik word. Pasuk says in Tehillim, Mitzion miklal yofi, the beauty of Tzion. Yavan is known for its beauty. Tzion is Gematria 156, which is the same Gematria as Yosef, same Gematria as Melech Yavan, same Gematria as Antiochus, as the Megala Mukos of Bnei Yisrael and the Sfarim say. So Tzion is a very chash of Hanukkah word. That the Banecha Tzion should overpower Banecha Yavan. Look at the word Tzion. It's a Tzadi in front of the word Yavan. Who's the Tzadi? Yosef HaTzadik. Right? Because Yosef is the Gematria of Tzion. And Yosef is the one who fights against Yavan. Because Yosef is very handsome, and yet he knows how to say no to Eishes Potiphar. Says the Bnei Yisrael in Source 26. Now you understand a little bit further why the Yavanim made the Gzeros that they made. The Gzeros of the Yavanim, in particular, Shabbos, Chodesh, and Mila, were targeting the fact that we're Banim L'makom. How so? He writes, Bnei Yisrael raises the question that we raised. Why does it change from Amcha Yisrael to Banecha? Bnei Yisrael answers in the name of the Chidah. You see where it's bolded? He quotes in the Chidah. The reason that they targeted Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos, they targeted those mitzvahs which highlight the fact that we're banim l'makom. For example, Shabbos, he says, mitzvah Shabbos is mochiach she Yisrael nikru banim, because a goyish Shabbos is chayav misa. It's a very personal time. It's of our family only. We don't want outsiders getting involved. And therefore, the Gemara says in our Masechta in Sanhedrin that a non-Jew who keeps the Shabbos is Chayav Misa. Why? You're using the king's scepter. Only the prince can hop on the king's lap when the king is sitting in his royal throne room meeting dignitaries from around the world. Only the child of the king can get away with walking in and picking up the king's scepter or taking the crown off his father's head and putting it on his own head. Not only is the father not upset, he thinks it's very cute. He's happy to show off his little son, the little prince. Right? But only a ben can get away with such a thing. And therefore, Yisrael, Shomer Mesa Shabbos, Shom Shinikro, Banim. And Hashem is our father. Bris Mila, he says in the Zohar Kadosh, is also rooted in the fact that what? That we're Banim L'makom. Chodesh is also an expression of Banim L'makom. So says the Chidah, these three mitzvahs were targeted by the Yavanim. And therefore, again, part of the celebration is that what? They came to try to say, you're just Amcha. You're like any other nation. Acher Cain says the Bnei Sassar, Bo Banechel Idvir Besecha. We pulled off a tremendous victory. Okay, Chevra, I have 6 minutes left till I have to be with Rabbi Schnell, so let's try to finish up quickly. I want to just add, a good part of our presentation, the first part, again, was based on Rabbi Radinsky's Mishkan Bezalel, but I want to add a few of my own Ha'aros. And that is, there's a Medrash Pliya that's brought by the Chassam Sofer and many others. Very strange medrash, doesn't really make sense, b'derech ha'pshat. I want to offer an explanation. It's commenting on a pasuk in Shira Shira. Pasuk says, Hadudaim nasnu reyach, v'al pisachenu kol megadim. Says the medrash, Hadudaim nasnu reyach, source 28, ze Ruvain, shehitzil Yosef me'abor. Ruvain, the well-intended Ruvain who nearly saved Yosef from the boar. V'al pisachenu, and by our entrances, kol megadim, Ner Chanukah. What? Again, we know there's a strong kesher between Yosef and Ner Chanukah. That's why the Torah Tumimah and others explain. You open up Maseches Shabbos, and right there in the middle of the Chanukah sugya is what? V'abor reik ein bo mayim. Right? Mayim, there was no water, but there was nechashim and akravim. What's that doing there, smack in the middle of the Chanukah story? So there's all sorts of creative answers. But one basic answer is that what do you mean? We're talking about Yosef because Yosef is the Hanukkah story. Yosef is the tzaddik, right? Who knows how to put the tzaddik in front of the Yavan, who knows how to use the beauty in the proper way. But again, you have this funny medrash. Hadudam nasnu reach is Ruvain, and Al Pesachenu kol Megadim is near Hanukkah. What's the kasher? So I thought you could suggest the following. Why is Reuven called Reuven? Open the Chumash, you'll find one answer. Open Torah Shebaal Peh, open the Gemara in Brachos, you'll find another answer. The Gemara in Brachos darshins that Leah named Reuven Reuven, source 29, Amr Belazar, Amr Leah, when Leah had her son, her first son, what does she say? Reuven, see my ben. Reuma ben bini leben chami. Look, my father-in-law had an Esav. Now look at my little tzaddik Reuven. Reuven, see my son. Focus on the fact that this is my son. Look at this little tzaddik. No, chaver. Now you know the answer to the Medrash Pliya. Hadudam nasdu reyach is Reuven. Reubeni. That the whole Indian of bottom is what we're trying to maor. And when I shared this many years ago with my good friend, who I haven't spoken to in many years, Yoni Waxpress, but we're still good friends. We have a kesher shal kayam, I believe. Yoni Waxpress told me the following ha'ara. He said, Reu vein, see my son. Reu is gematria what? Reu is gematria what? 207, which is what?
Raz
or right? When was the Hanukkah story? The Sfarim say it took place in the year 213. So from the time Hashem made the miracle of the Hanukkah story, how many years were left to buy a Sheni?
207 years.
Right? So from the time that Hashem re-established that absolute reality of Bottom Lamakom, like the Pnei Yoshua says, by doing that miracle that he didn't have to do for us because he loved us. So Hashem said, Re'u Ben. For the next 207 years, the rest of Bayis Sheni, Re'u, 207, see my child. See Klal Yisrael. That even when they're bad, they're still Barim Atem L'Shem L'Keichem. And nothing in the world could take that away. I want to add another halacha. And that is, if you open up Hilchos Chanukah, before you even start Hilchos Chanukah, there's a halacha. What's the opening halacha, the pre-halacha to Hilchos Chanukah? The Magen Avraham writes in Source 30, Noagin ha-ne'arim ha'aniyim l'save v'chanukah al psochim. People should go around collecting tzedakah. Kids should go around collecting tzedakah. The Minog Yisrael, the kids go around collecting tzedakah on Chanukah. This is the Magen Avraham's Hakdama Tilchos Chanukah. Before you learn any halacha of Hilchos Chanukah, you learn that what? That little kids, banim, should go around collecting tzedakah. What's the pshat? Right? This is Chanukah. Zoi Chanukah. My Chanukah. This is Chanukah. Kids should go around collecting tzedakah. Why is this the introduction to all of Chanukah? So I thought you could say the following, and then I found years later that Shlomo Fischer says a very similar thing in the Drushos Beis Yishai. There's a question in the Gemara Baba Basra, Turnus Rufus HaRasha, says to Rabbi Akiva, if Hashem loves you so much, so why does He make poor Jews? So Rabbi Akiva says, what do you mean? Hashem wants us to help them. So Turnus Rufus HaRasha says, so the king made them poor, and you go behind the king's back and you give them money? Isn't that a terrible thing? So Rabbi Akiva says, no, you don't understand. Rabbi Akiva says, three lines from the end, Em sholecha mashal, lema davar domeh. Imagine a melech baser v'dam who got angry at his own son and threw him in jail. And he said, no one give this kid any food or drink. And someone went behind the king's back and gave the king's son who's sitting in jail food and drink. Kishashama melech lo doran mishagrela. Would the king not actually reward that person? Of course the king doesn't want his own son to starve. He has to act tough sometimes with the prince. So he said, no one give this kid any food. But it's his own son. Of course he wants his son to have. And we're called Banam Hashem L'Hashem L'Keichem, says Rabbi Akiva. So when Hashem, so to speak, puts a Jew in a dungeon and doesn't give him food, of course he wants other Jews to go behind Hashem's back, kiviyachol, and give tzedakah. So Chaver, what do you see? What's the essence of tzedakah? What's the heter for tzedakah? Why is tzedakah not going against the Kodesh Baruch Hu? The answer is, because Banam Hashem L'Hashem L'Keichem. That is the heter for tzedakah. That because we're Hashem's children, Rabbi Akiva says to turn us through for Sarasha, Chaviv and Yisrael Shneku Banam Lamakum, that's Rabbi Akiva also. Right? We're allowed to do for Hashem's children. So therefore the Magid of Ram says exactly, the Minhag Yisrael, the Hakadama to all of Hilchos Chanukah is what? It's tzedakah. Because tzedakah is the greatest proof that Banam Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. I'll add one more however. And that's a question Rav Tzadok asks in the pre-Tzadok by Chanukah. He says, you'll notice by Purim versus Chanukah, there's one other difference. When we tell the Purim story, in the Nusach HaTfilah, we mention Mordechai, and we mention Esther, and we don't mention their parents. Even though we actually know from the Megillah. We know Esther Bas Avichail. Why don't we call her by that name? As opposed to what? By Chanukah, says Rav Tzadok, Maskirin bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. V'tzalach lavina tamazah. It's Rav Tzadok's question. Nuchayva, what's our answer? All right, that's the whole Indian of Hanukkah. What do you mean? Of course we mention parents and children by Hanukkah. The whole Indian of Hanukkah is Baruch Atem L'Hashem Elokeicha. And therefore it's not as surprising that by Purim, we don't feel a sense of need to mention the parents, but by Hanukkah we absolutely do. Okay? A final point, the final source, and that is we know that one of the things the Yevanim decreed was Kisvu al Karen Ashur, She'en Lechem Chelek Be'lokei Yisrael. The Yevanim wanted us to write on the horn of an ox that we have no kesher to the Rabbono Shalom. What's the pshat on the horn of an ox? Again, many explanations. Yosef is Bechor Shor, so maybe this was again targeting Yosef, who is the ultimate Hanukkah personality. But there's an answer that I saw Rav Shlomo Levenstein brings in his Matu Ka'or. But I first had seen it, I had heard it, b'shem Rav Leib Gerwitz. Rav Leib Gerwitz was the Gateshead Rosh Yeshiva. I don't think it's brought in any of his writings, but the following story is told. He said he once overheard people talking about an exhibit that they went to at the British Museum. And at the British Museum they saw there was a display, part of a display of ancient societies, was ancient baby bottles. What do people use in the good old days? Right? In order to give their children something. So in Egypt, it showed that they used to make these leather sacks, these leather pouches, which they use as a bottle. It says that in ancient Greece, you know what they used to use? As a baby bottle? A Karen Ashur, exactly. So therefore the Yevanim said, Kisval Karen Ashur. When your little child, when your little Ben is taking a drink for the first time, right? I want the child to be staring up right in awe in that baby bottle. Ein lachem chelek be'lokei Yisrael. Dafka targeting again the banan. Targeting the banan. But again, acher kach, bo banecha l'dvir be'secha. Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael's connection to Hashem is absolute. Egal, even though it seems to be one more than banan, is not one more than banan. And Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael still going strong with the appreciation of Avinu Shebashamayim. So we should be zochet to a lot of or this. We should be zochet to a lot of or this Chanukah. We should stop and think in a deep way what it means that regardless of our behavior, the chaviva saneis, mitzvah chaviva yad mod, Hashem loves you so much. He came out of his way, kiviyachos, to do an open miracle, like Rav Eliyahu Glitmacher said, to make it known to us how much he loves us in such an unbelievable way, such an unnecessary way. Tumahutra b'tzibur, said the Pnei Yeshua. He had a Kodesh Baruch who wanted to show us that at all costs, a Jew has to know and spend everything, sell the shirt off your back. You need to have this candle. You need to have this candle so that a Jew doesn't chas v'shalom for a second think that it's possible to lose that kesher to Hashem, abanu v'tam, l'Hashem Elokeicha.